From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, Mark, and welcome everybody to Life Change Weekend. Delighted you're listening into our program. On this weekend edition, we spend time with people talking about their lives, talking about their testimonies, books that they've written, places they've gone, and experiences. Monday through Friday, we have a Bible teaching time. We have 15 minutes on all of these stations that we're on. Then on Saturday, we begin to hear the reality of how the Word of God changes our lives. So we're glad you're listening in. And today, we have something very special. Kathy Omer joined us last week. Kathy's a dear personal friend of my wife and I. She is a missionary with Hope Compassion, Compassion Hope Foundation. She has been a veteran missionary for many years. She is a dynamic believer in Jesus Christ. I've joked with her last week and said, you kind of remind me of the Apostle Paul, the way she just goes from place to place and does so many things. But the program today really is kind of a very serious program, and we need to get kind of a Christian perspective on persecution that happens. You know, in the early church, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter number 2, the anointing of God in a special way upon the people. And then 3,000 people came to the Lord. And shortly after that, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and they healed a man, and there was an uproar over that. And in the book of Acts, we find it's not just the Great Commission that reaches people, but we find in the book of Acts that it was persecution that changed many people's lives. And Kathy, it's good to have you back on again today. Tell us a little bit about the Christian persecution that you are aware of there in those countries of Thailand, Laos, and the Philippines.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Pastor Padrone. I appreciate that so much. Yes, in the country of Laos, it is a country that to be a believer in Jesus Christ is like signing a death warrant. If a villager becomes a Christian, they burn your home, they burn your village. There's a story, a true story, and of course, this story comes from Dr. Al Hinson. He's the founder of Compassionate Hope Foundation since 2011, and he wrote a book, Breaking Invisible Chains, that you can find more stories in that book that he wrote about human trafficking and also the persecution of believers. There was recently a believer named Nauru and M. Some of them I will change their names. He came to Christ. As soon as he knew that Jesus Christ freed him from sin, he felt so much freedom that he became like an Apostle Paul. He got on his motorbike and he went from village to village sharing Jesus Christ. And many people, hundreds, were coming to know Jesus. Well, of course, the police didn't like that. The government officials were very angered by that. And they had warned him several times, you continue this and we're going to kill you. You continue this and it's going to be your death. But he felt that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ was worthy of death, was something to die for. And Nauru, it was around Christmas time that he was scheduled to go share the message of the gospel in a neighboring village in the church, and he never arrived. And his wife, M, waited to hear from him. And then later, the police said that there was a motorbike found along the road, and then ultimately a pastor murdered. And so the father, Nauru's father, went to go identify his body. And very sadly, his body was found in the woods two or three days after they found his motorbike. He had been on his way to those group of believers, but those that carried that threatened him actually carried out that threat. And they, this is a bit graphic, they almost decapitated him, and he died for the faith. Well, his wife was so distraught, she wouldn't eat for 20 days and only prayed. Her father was greatly concerned about her, and she just kept praying, calling on her friends to pray. All of her friends came into her little dirt floor hut, and they prayed. And she prayed, God, please bring the one that loves my husband to our home. You see, Dr. Al Henson would not sometimes know the details of the families of these believers in case he would have to give out information or in case the government would stop him. So he purposely would not know the names of the wives and specific details. Well, the Lord brought Dr. Al Henson from America and into her home, and she just wept and wept and wanted to give him a gift. And he did not want a gift, of course, but he did think of something. He said, "Em, would you give me the coffee cup, your husband's favorite coffee cup?" And then she gave him a coffee cup, and he said, "I'm going to remind those that this is the coffee cup of a martyr who died for Jesus, and we're going to ask God to fill these cups again and bring more men to teach the gospel in his place." And then that following few days, Dr. Al went to go visit her hut again, and she had in a box 18 other cups of martyrs who'd also died for the faith. And today M has started several Bible groups, and men have been called to preach in her husband's stead, and they have planted churches, and it is incredible. And she started by saying, "Lord, I'm not the preacher. I'm only a woman. I'm not even a talented woman. I'm just a woman. How do I carry on this ministry?" And the Lord filled her hands and filled her heart, and the Lord has brought godly young men to preach the gospel. And she is thriving today. Her children are now growing up and being called into the service of the Lord also, Pastor.
What a story that is, Kathy. My goodness. Yeah, when we think of that kind of dedication to Christ, but, you know, when we think of Christ's call in our lives, it changes us. It really does change us. So thank you for sharing that, Kathy. We have much more to cover here on the program today. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padrone talking to you. And we're so glad to have on veteran missionary Kathy Omar with Compassion Hope Foundation. And the Lord has richly used that ministry in so many ways. And we've just heard that remarkable story about this situation with martyrdom and those who have given their lives to Christ. I was in a discussion not too long ago with some people that were kind of iffy about the Christian faith, and they just didn't believe in people that would die for their faith, like you have just told us, Kathy. But stories like that kind of change the perspective for everyone. So let me ask you, Kathy, is Christianity growing then in Southeast Asia?
Yes, Pastor, it is growing because of the persecution, because of all of the things happening in the world. It is growing. But sadly, in Thailand, 95% are Buddhists. And Buddhism, of course, does not claim to even be a religion. It's actually a way of life. It's a way of life from a former prince of Nepal, and he claimed you have a god at all. So Thailand, 95% are Buddhist, and there's about 5.4% that are Muslim. And then there's a barely 1.2% that are Christians, which is 250,000 Christians. Now, when I first came, and I was in my 20s, and I was just 66 this week, it was less than 0.5%. So over the years, we have grown, and I'm thrilled to say that it has grown because we are training children to become leaders in the country, because to be Thai is to be Buddhist. And as a missionary, and I read, write, and speak the language fluently, I can go and talk for an hour, and there would be people gathering around me. Every time I open up my mouth, I speak Thai. And, of course, that's unheard of for a foreigner to speak fluent Thai. So, of course, you know, I have an immediate crowd. And so I look at all of them, I pass out tracts, and I talk to them. And in typically 1 minute, I've given them the gospel. But it is their way to be polite and listen if you're older. Now, when I was younger and I was 20, I had to listen to everybody else. Now that I'm 66, I love that I'm older in Thailand, because that gives me the right to share, and they look to me and they'll ask me questions. And it doesn't mean that they necessarily believe, but you have an opportunity to share. And I really love that. The verse that Dr. Al loves, that has founded Compassion Hope Foundation, is found in Psalm 82, 3 and 4. And it is about protecting the least of these, the beautiful children. Psalm 82, 3 and 4 says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. And I am the director of one of the 66 homes in Thailand, Laos, and the Philippines. And let me tell you, Dr. Padron, I've been to Laos about 6 times. I almost lost my life there because, as you know, it is hard to shut me up about the gospel. And you are not allowed to bring gospel tracts or a Bible into the country of Laos. So I promised my dear friend, Pastor Pertuan, that I set out on my journey with 100 gospel tracts. And I said, by the time I get to the Thai-Laotian border, I will be rid of all of these tracts. I would have given them away. Because he said, yes, you better. Because if you land in the Laotian jail, there's no way I can get you out. So I said, okay, Pastor. So I handed out my last gospel tract to the police on the Thai side. But when I went into Laos, you know what I had? I had a block of pictures, a wooden block of pictures about Christ and the death, burial, and the resurrection. Had no words, it just had pictures. So they didn't say I couldn't take pictures. So I shared the gospel to every taxi driver, wherever I went in the market. I had the wordless book that talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But one time I was in the marketplace and feeling particularly bold, I started sharing Jesus with the vendors that were selling cloth. And then I turned and I saw a man all dressed in black leaning against a building, and he was intently watching me. And I thought, maybe he's interested in what I'm saying. And I started to walk over towards him and share the gospel with him. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. Now, if you say, what is the greatest lesson of my life, Pastor? I have to tell you, it's learning how to listen intently to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because it has cost me, it can cost you your life if you disobey, if you don't listen carefully. And the Holy Spirit stopped me midstream. Do not go to that man. Turn around. And at first I was puzzled. What? I'm thinking, was that the Lord? You know how sometimes we question, was that the Lord? And it was. And he said, stop, turn. And I turned away and I went somewhere else. I hid myself in the crowd. And when I got caught up with a young man in his 20s who was a young pastor, I pointed around the corner to the man standing all in black, and I said, you know what, I was going to go witness, share the gospel with that man. And the Holy Spirit stopped me, and the man gasped, and he said, I can't believe that. He said, that is the man who killed my father. My father was a government official. He became a Christian. He started a group in the underground church, and that man killed my father. He says, I'm glad you learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. And then he immediately whisked me back to the hotel. I've had the police chasing me from out of the marketplace, and the Holy Spirit told me, don't go back to your hotel. So I went in and out of alleys, and I finally went back at dark time back into my hotel. When I got to my hotel, there was a woman that told me in Thai, she said, the police were here looking for you. And they said, have you seen a white-skinned, red-haired woman? We said, there's no white-skinned, red-haired women here. This is, you know, everybody's brown-skinned here. And so he said, we don't know what that was all about, but we felt impressed in our hearts not to tell him that you had a room here. So the Holy Spirit protected me. And I thank God for that.
Yeah, it's quite the story, Kathy. Again, thank you for your courage. It sounds a little bit there like this is chapter 29 of the book of Acts. God working in such a way like that. You're listening into Life Change Weekend, and this is Dina Padron chatting with you, and my good friend Kathy Omar is on with us today, and this is a very intriguing program today. You've heard two very unique stories. Kathy, I want you to spend a little bit of time here with the whole idea of human trafficking in Thailand and Laos and Philippines. The total time left in the broadcast is 9 minutes, so I want you to know that. But give us some of what's taking place. This is a tragedy. I remember several years ago, and this has been a lot of years ago, actually, that I was given a book about human trafficking by a board member on the board of a college that I was with. And she gave me this book. She said, you got to read it. And, you know, when you're busy running a college and traveling and preaching, you don't have a lot of time to read something that isn't within your situation to read. But I began reading. I couldn't put it down. It was the story of human trafficking and what takes place. So you're directly involved in Thailand and Laos in the Philippines. Share with us a little bit about that whole concept over there.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Padron. Dr. Padron, it is a result of the poverty, the socioeconomics, the situation there, where today in Thailand, there's 610,000 being human trafficked. And the situation is that many are deceived, are tricked, because parents and grandparents are very poor. People come to them in their village and say, hey, let us have your girls, your little boys. We'll take them into the city. We'll give them a job, and then they can send some money back home to you. And of course, most of them only have like a first or second education. If they had a fourth grade education, that's a high education. And so they believe this. And so their children are taken, and it is a story where even the migrants, there's hundreds of thousands of migrants, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, Myanmar, and they come expecting work, but they're tricked. There's a lot of scams, we know that, online, and there's a lot of deceit going on where they're tricked. They thought they were coming for a job, these young women, but yet they are being chained to a bed. Particularly very sad is the fact that among the Northern Thai, there are 7 hill tribes, and these hill tribes do not have their own written language. So, I mean, you've got the Karen, you've got the Ata, you've got the Min, the Lahu, the Lisu, the Hmong, and the Palung. And of these, the highest, many came from Tibet, from Myanmar, from China, from India, and the largest group is a Karen Hill tribe in northern Thailand. There's about 1 million of them, and they have the highest of Christianity, and also the Lisu, because of missionaries from 100 years ago and currently, who actually took the Karen tribe, their language, and gave it, transliterated using the Roman alphabet, so they actually have a written language that you can be taught to read, but the other hill tribes don't. And what's very tragic is that the hill tribe of the Hmong, a typical scenario is for a man of 40 or 50 years old to come and offer a father of a family. Typically, it's a large family where the man doesn't have enough money to feed his children. And that man will offer the hand of his teenage girls, 13 years old, 14 year olds. We have children that have grown up in CHF today who are now some of our leaders who were going to be sold off to a man of 40 and 50. He came to the father. The girls called Yin, Yin and Yang. They begged their father not to marry him off to them. See, the custom is that the man can actually stalk them, kidnap them, spend a week with them, rape them repeatedly, and then at the end, the girl has 3 choices. One, she can either marry that older man, which if she did marry him, the man would give the father a dowry. 2, if the girl became pregnant, she would definitely want to marry him, because since she wouldn't have a hope and a prayer of even feeding that baby. Three, if she just was stubborn and chose not to marry him at all, then the man would pay a fine to her father for violating her. But then there would be no future for her, because no one would want her any longer, because she'd only been used by a week by this man. So that's what they face. In America, that's called kidnapping and statutory rape. But in Thailand, especially among the Hill tribe, women are property. Women are possessions, though there's very little human rights. And it's not just the Hill tribe people. I mean, in 2019, there's 3.9 million migrants who fell into human trafficking, who fell into being slaves and sex slaves. But these two girls lived to tell the tale, where CHF, we went in and rescued them, and they came and they lived in one of our homes, and they were never violated but by that man. And they are now today two of our young leaders. They're in university. They are growing to be dedicated, faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is why it is so very, very heartbreaking. It's because the Hill tribes have lower education, not much money, can't read and write their own language. And so, of course, human traffickers are taking advantage.
Yeah, that's an incredible story, Kathy. As you're saying all of that, it reminds me so clearly of the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's many tracts written that talk about coming to God, but there's no gospel in it. There's many times people have conversations and say, do you want a better life? Well, give yourself to Jesus. But the issue of the gospel is that we're sinners needing a savior. And it begins with before the world ever began. And then God decided to do what he planned to do all along, which was to send a savior. There was the incarnation, the coming of Christ, his perfect life. Not only his perfect life, but then we have the death of Christ, the burial, and praise God, the resurrection. And one of the things that I admire so much about Kathy and about the ministry with Compassion Hope Foundation is that the gospel is the very heart of that. And that's quite a story you just told, quite a few stories you told to us today, Kathy. This has been so insightful for all of us. In 20 seconds, I know you can do this. Tell us what people need to do to give their life to Jesus, Kathy.
Three things. Just ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. C, call upon him. Because his word says in Romans that all we need to do is he will save us. All we have to do is confess his name and believe that he is God, and he will come into our hearts and lives and be our savior. He will save us if we ask him to forgive us of our sin, and he will be your savior for all time.
We've had a remarkable program today with Kathy Omer, my good friend, my wife's good friend. We thank the Lord for her sister Karen, who is so much a part of this ministry as well on the stateside, and telling this story. These stories today have been so insightful and so helpful. Don't forget, Monday through Friday, our Bible studies as we go through the scriptures together. Join us with our posts daily that we have on Facebook. You can go to our webpage at dinamadroministry.org or .com and get all of the information about our ministry. Kathy, we didn't give your address, but people can contact you.
Okay, KathyVeachOmer@gmail.com. That's KHHY, V as in Victor, VEACH, Omer, OMER, @gmail.com. My phone number is 954-592-2764. 954-592-2764. Or you can contact me at Compassion Hope Foundation.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Great having you on. You've been a wonderful blessing to all of us today. Now remember this, the Word of God changes lives. That's what we all need, is a changed life.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.